Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, along with co-hosts Art Malin and Desmond Bennett, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and we've also got a couple of interviews, one with our local Hayward area DNR biologist Max Walter, and also another one with fishing guide Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Save green during the Can-Am Yellow Tag Event at Hayward Power Sports. Depending on the model, claim up to $2,000 rebate or financing as low as 2.9%. Get a Can-Am Defender HD8 side-by-side with seating for three, selectable 2- and 4-wheel drive, a dump box, and a 4-stroke V-twin 800cc engine for as little as $199 a month. Can-Am, the ride says it all. Test ride one today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval. See your dealer for details. Online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair, Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky for fall hunters and anglers, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're starting this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and in here today I've got Art Malin in here, and we've got co-host Desmond Bennett in here, and Bob Schuster. We got a full crowd in here. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning, John, Art, and Desmond.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning to all.
And let's talk about the fishing, Bob, first thing. You know, we're going to talk about what happened during the Muskies Egg Tournament. That's history now. It was kind of interesting, but as far as the fishing, what have you been hearing out there?
Musky action definitely has picked up. Live bait seems to be working very well. A number of fish in that 40-some range. We've seen a picture from you this morning with someone you just had recently guided a nice fish. And so muskies are going. Walleye bite is picking up as well. Crappie bite has been pretty good. So it's not been too bad. And then we got guys out bird hunting and folks out bow hunting, and the junior gun season went off pretty good last weekend with some good reports of youngsters harvesting their deer.
Surprised how many people out there, given the weather we've had the last
few years. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just but a couple of days ago we got to see that four-letter word called snow.
Yeah, that's true. And if you look back at the last 3 weeks, I'd say 3 weeks minimum, it's the craziest weather I have ever seen up here in 30 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the musky hunters, they'll get out in all kinds of weather. Folks deer hunting, they'll get out in all kinds of weather. So, and it's a great time of year to be out there. You don't have near the traffic on the lakes. Bow hunting, of course, it's a quiet hunt and a good time to be out there.
You know, I was on the Chippewa Flows the day we were spitting that snow, and that snow was horizontal with that 30-mile-an-hour, 35-mile-an-hour gust, but there were crappie guys out there. I've been running quite a few people fishing crappie.
Oh, absolutely, and the bite's been pretty good. And, you know, talking about the weather, that day, I think it was Duluth, they had 80-mile-an-hour winds that they recorded, and it tore up their walkway along the
again.
Yeah, this spring it got it, and now it's got it again. So yeah.
The next day, I till 1 o'clock or so, all the rod guides were freezing up when we were casting.
Well, you know, I can recall one of those days on the Muskie Ink tournament. This is about 12, 14 years ago. Oh, yeah. It was colder than a son of a gun, and the snow was coming sideways. It was a 30-mile-an-hour wind. They didn't bite too much that day, but the next day they did.
Yeah. Yep, and if you're out there, You're gonna get the action. You put your time in.
And walleyes are biting too, Desmond.
Yeah, I'm happy I can actually report on a fish I caught this week. So I found out that the walleyes are biting. And last weekend I was in Butternut, Wisconsin, and I even didn't get a muskie in the boat, but I saw one. So A lot more action than I had all summer.
You did get an award over there at that women's fish camp.
I did. Wisconsin Women Fish is the fishing club I'm a part of. We've got over 300 members across 9 states in Canada.
That is awesome.
It's really cool, and it was totally unexpected. I was recognized as the most improved angler. This season did not really feel like an improvement. I went 6 weeks without a fish on the line, and that was not for lack of trying. So that was pretty cool to get that award.
Yeah, absolutely. Neat.
The thing I think you want to continue to remember is just do what you're thinking when you're fishing. Don't do what somebody else is thinking.
That's really good advice, Art. And when you're a new angler, everybody's got an opinion. Anglers really like to share their opinions, I've found. But that one, you know, I got that musky follow on a lure I picked on my own rod and in a spot that I picked. So that's a pretty rewarding feeling.
You bet it is. You know, speaking of musky fishing, we had the fall musky tournament here just a couple of weeks ago. They set a bunch of records in that thing. 46% of the fish were over 40 inches, I believe.
Yeah, they were. We had 67 fish caught by 475 anglers, which was up 35 from the prior year. Weather conditions were a little more favorable for that weekend. But, yeah, I mean, that's over, what are we talking, 13, 14% catch rate on
and the fish were a lot bigger.
Yeah, they were. 50 and a half and a 50, both off the flowage.
Yeah, you know, and that's interesting.
Max Walter said that the average size is the biggest it's ever been in that tournament.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, catch and release works.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. The water temp's dropping down. They start putting the feed bag on. So it's all dialing in to be a good time to be out there.
I know, Bob, you know, we got a bunch of good hunting coming up yet. Hopefully we're not going to be talking that four-letter word or that three-letter word ice for a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, snow and ice is inevitable. It's coming.
It's coming.
You know, ice fish, talking ice fishing, you know, St. Croix got that big ice fishing show that they're going to have. Actually, well, I don't know how big it'll be. Usually it's pretty good size when they have something.
Well, this is their first annual.
Yeah, annual, November 10th, Saturday.
Yeah, and there's lots of, I was pretty wowed. There's some new product coming out. Otter's got a crossover ice shack with side doors, and the thing opens up, lots of room. Garmin is out with their
Panoptic.
Panoptics, thank you. And just incredible, some of the new goods out there.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I would like to say for the ladies, Striker actually offers an ice suit, a floating ice suit that is designed for women. And if you've ever been a woman trying to fit into a pair of men's bibs, it's really nice to have a set that's designed for you. So many thanks to Striker for doing that. And if you're looking for an ice suit, ladies, that's a good place to start.
And they're also great for fall fishing. I've been wearing my Striker suits all the last week.
Oh, absolutely. Flotation in it and waterproof and warmth. Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned that St. Croix show, too. I should mention that'll be at Park Falls at St. Croix Rods. They had a big show. Jim Linder will be there, Tony Roach, a bunch of guys. There'll be some seminars, a whole bunch of stuff going on over there.
Yeah, so people want to take that in, for sure.
You bet. Well, Bob, you know, if anybody's looking for stuff for the fall here, you pretty much got everything. Archery, you got some muzzleloader stuff, ammo.
Scents, lots of hunting accessories, as well as a pretty well-stocked shop with musky baits yet, and it's not all picked over.
You bet. Well, thanks a lot for coming on here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors and come back. We've got a couple interviews we're going to run, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall musky, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Store your boat where it'll be safe and secure at Hayward Power Sports.
We're the area's largest marine and power sports storage facility. Call now to reserve your space and bring it in when you're done for the season. Your boat will be prepped by our certified techs who properly winterize today's high-tech motors. We offer shrink wrapping and indoor storage plus a 20% discount on any repairs done when you store your boat with us. State licensed and bonded, Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-hosts Art Malin and Desmond Bennett. And, you know, I'm going to run one thing here. Northern Pike, this is an interview I've run before, but this is an important message to get out there. I noticed now the Chippewa Flow is there encouraging people to keep some of these pike out there.
Eat them.
It's not that hard to cut out the Y bones.
No, you know, and if you cut a wide strip out with the Y bones, you could save those strips and make pickled fish out of them. So, but anyway, Max talked about that here. Quite a while back. Let's hear what he had to say about harvesting northern pike and what northern pike can do. You know, what we can do to actually make our fisheries better.
Max, I know one of your challenges has been the influx of northern pike into a lot of lakes here, and to the point where you encourage harvest on some. And we'll talk about that pretty soon here, but they seem to be getting in almost all the lakes that traditionally never had them.
Yep, you know, pike are one of those species that once they get in somewhere, you know, it's like the toothpaste out of the tube. You know, you're never going to get it back in. You're never going to get rid of the pike. They reproduce very well. They're very mobile. They go over dams. They go through creeks and little ditches to get to new water. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, a lot of this started when you had probably one or two individuals that maybe lived on a lake and they wanted something else to fish for in the winter with tip-ups, and they took it upon themselves to introduce some fish. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got this thing that kind of spirals out of control. That said, you know, it's a condition we're going to have to deal with now. And like I said, in places like Tiger Cat, Spider Lake, Mud Callahan, you know, we're really encouraging people to harvest those northern pike when they catch them before the populations become a problem.
Well, you know, they really are a very prolific fish. I mean, we worry about trying to get our walleye fisheries up and trying to maintain sizes on panfish, but I always tell people, man, I tell you, the northern pike, I think I could raise them in a septic tank. I mean, they grow anywhere, so they grow.
They do, and they have some huge, you know, reproductive advantages over walleye and muskies. You know, they can go into a bay in the spring that's got a bunch of old, basically dead vegetation, and they can lay eggs all over. Their eggs stick to that vegetation so that it stays up in the water column and they continue to get oxygen. So they probably get better hatch rates than our walleye and our muskies. They hatch a little earlier as well, so they get a kind of a head start on the other fish. And you know, it doesn't take very many pike to reproduce and fill a lake pretty quickly. We wouldn't be having a conversation about the problems we have with pike if they all wound up being 35 to 40 inches, would we?
That'd
be great. No. But that's typically not what we see, is it?
But what we need to do is harvest a lot of the sub 30 inch pike, the 25 inch, 24, 28 inch pike fish.
Absolutely. And I've been working, you know, for years now to kind of change people's perception that if you want to catch some big pike once in a while, you know, have that fun. It's great. Catching a pike over 30 is a lot of fun. But we can't get those fish there when we have such a, you know, bottleneck of fish between 18 and 24 inches, which is what's typical in our lakes. So what we want to encourage people to do is harvest those more abundant, smaller pike, let the bigger ones go so that they can continue to grow and can become even more fun next year. You know, I hear these anglers, you know, a lot of, not necessarily old timers, it's everybody across the board, that say, oh, I won't keep a pike unless it's 26 inches. That's the exact opposite approach of what we want to help these lakes. If you're just waiting until pike get to 26 inches and then killing them, you know, you're not helping with the problem at all, which is too abundant small pike.
So it's something to think about for the guy out there fishing.
That's right. You know, it's kind of an investment in your own future. You keep a few smaller fish today so that we can grow some bigger ones tomorrow. And if we can get that mentality out there and enough people bought into it, you know, we can have anglers, instead of making fishing worse by keeping lots of fish, we're going to have anglers that are making fishing better by keeping the right types of fish.
Interesting topic there, Max. I want to thank you for coming on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Well, that was interesting, and that's one thing we need to keep in mind here. We need to take another break, though, and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We'll come back with more on your outdoors.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle, 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And you know, that was a short interview on the last one we did there. I've got a little interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy talking about deer scent and crossbows. Let's play that quick, and then we'll come back with a wrap-up on the show. Well, Tim, you know, deer season is underway here, archery deer season, and we're seeing more and more and more people shooting crossbows. I know you got into that just like you got into the muzzleloader season, but it's just another way of getting out there and a pretty effective weapon.
Yeah, it definitely is, and there's good points and bad points. The bad point for me is that having the crossbow, it takes me away from shooting with a regular bow, just because the crossbow is so much easier and accurate, you know, to pull, to draw on an animal, whatever. So I actually, this year my nephew came up from Thief River Falls, and he brought his bow, and so I actually got my bow and started shooting with it. But I mean, the crossbow is so accurate and everything else, and distance-wise, so much easier than a regular bow. I almost wish they'd have like two seasons. Yeah. One for the crossbow, one for the, so then you can break it up so you use one of each.
Except for the fact that if crossbow, you shouldn't try shooting a deer any farther range than you do with a bow. About 40 yards is about max that you should be shooting.
Well, here, I guess I'd go this far as saying this. I wouldn't shoot something farther than I practiced shooting over and over and over again. So when I shot my bow, I'd shoot actually less than 20 yards. Most of my shots were probably, you know, 15 yards, very close. I liked very close shots. At low light, things, you know, get in your way that you can't see in the low light, branches, things like that. But these crossbows nowadays are unbelievable. And they'll go a great distance, but I wouldn't try shooting. My Matthews will shoot a great distance, but I'm not going to try to shoot that.
Thing with a crossbow though, Tim, when it comes to shooting a crossbow versus a regular bow, you still need to have the skills to get the deer close enough, and that's usually a lot closer than you're going to get with a gun.
Right. And so on one hand, I'm talking about distance. On the other hand, I've shot deer closer than I've ever shot in my life, and I'm talking, you know, I was saying the 15 yards, I'm not even closer than that. And you talk, the scent sticks and stuff like that, unbelievable. people, they play the wind. They want the wind. Here, I want the wind blowing to them. It's backwards compared to what most people. I'm telling you, I've shot more deer, and my brother's deer camp up there, everybody does the same. And the one year, Kevin was hunting a stand, and he never saw nothing. But we knew there was a big buck out there. The wind switch was blowing to where the big buck was, and I said, I'll stay and hunt that stand tonight. Put the scent sticks out there. I look over there, here's that big buck standing on a ridge. And normally, your scent would be going to them, and he's not going to come out. But the scent we had brought him out, and we shot that buck. It's kind of different, and people don't even believe it when you tell them, but I guess I just know it works. And we've shot a lot of deer, and I've shot deer at close range. I mean, point-blank range almost.
You talk about the tanks, smokesticks, and I've used those too. And sometimes I think they almost mask your odor 100% because I've been downwind or been where the buck's wind blowing right on buck and they don't seem to know I'm there.
So here's the thing. They work, if you're in a ground blind or some kind of a blind, it seems to be the best. And what you should all do is I'll have one inside, I put one outside. Maybe I'll have all season inside and I'll have 69 outside blowing, but I want it blowing to them. If it's not blowing to them, I'm not even gonna waste the time lighting the stick. So most people don't want the scent blowing to a deer, their scent. They want it blowing away so the deer can't smell them. I want this going to them, but when I'm in the blind with the all season, it mixes in there. I've had deer, I look out the window and there'll be 10 deer 5 feet away from me. They can't smell you and with the wind blowing towards them. And better yet, I went as far as light a cigar in the ground blind with the deer 10 feet away. Like you said, it mixes. And when it goes out, they can't smell it. What I used to use before that was skunk. Skunk is very potent. It'll actually, it's hard to beat that odor. So that's, but then you go in the house and you smell like a skunk. But this,
well, you do with these sticks too, Ken, and you smell it for hours after.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, you always can, like when we do the radio, you go, you smell, but it's kind of like an incense type, but yeah, I'm in that stuff so much, you smell like the stuff, but the deer can't smell it. And the 69 and stuff, and then I went as far as making my own containers. They had the thing you stick in the ground. My little jugs, over the years, they've gotten smaller and smaller, and then the holes in it, I make it so the stick will burn longer. We got 3 hours out of a stick now, where it used to be two. So, I mean, unbelievable. And here, when you shoot a deer and I'm tracking it, I'll hook that jug onto my belt, and I'll walk in the woods. They can't, usually you're going in there, you're scaring all the deer away. They can't smell you when you got that, when you're walking in with that stuff. Well, in my house, I'd go from my house, I'd light the stick, get to my tree stand, which is about less than a block away, get up in the tree. Before I got up in the tree, here comes the deer out of the woods. They smell that. They do smell it.
Interesting stuff talking about it. Deer's nose is, it's pretty hard to beat, but at some
point. Here, I'm telling you, very hard to beat. And you know what? I can't even remember the last time I got winded, you know? My stuff's going towards them, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, it used to be, you know, you get winded every other day or something if the wind wasn't right. But anyhow, it's a new way of hunting. I tell some people, nobody wants to believe it because they're kind of set in their own ways. And nobody wants to, you know, used to have their stands where they hunt the wind so it's blowing a certain, I don't care. I want the wind blowing towards them. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the same way with me. I've shot a lot of nice bucks and I don't have to go out there and take a shower and wash everything before I go out because I usually use a cover scent, and it seems to work.
And there's, here, you know, we talk about the fishing industry. The hunting industry has changed horrendously, you know, with different products out there and clothing and things like that. But these scent sticks and what I've done with those is unbelievable because I want the wind having the scent blow towards them instead of away from them. Guys can't get over that. They go no because they smell too much. They'll smell you, and that's not the case. I wish I had everybody here talking about it that uses those and could tell you that we see it firsthand.
Yeah, I know. And that's basically another different aspect to hunting. That, you know, it's a lot of things we can try.
Well, and the thing is, too, when you get something that you try and you like it, and you have to understand it and know how to use it, just like a depth finder or a lure or whatever, you know. And I'm really good with the stuff that I like to figure out how to use it to work the best for me.
Yeah, I suppose the next thing we'll be talking about the gun deer season. Well, it'll be a ways off now, but that'll be coming up, and then the muzzleloader season. We got a lot of deer hunting time left yet this year.
Well, I'm sitting there going, here, so in less than a month, the Minnesota gun season's going to be started. It's on November 3rd, so I'll be going up there in a month to hunt the Minnesota season, and then we got our bow season, and yeah, it's time's going fast and things are coming up pretty quick, and you got good fishing, everything's kind of coming down to this time.
Yeah, ice fishing too. Tim, I want to thank you for coming on here. You want to give out your phone number?
Yeah, people can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
Well, you know, that was interesting listening to him, and I know you got a couple of quick things here you want to talk about, Art?
Yeah, the DNR is offering a new app, hunting app. It's called Hunt Wild WI. It's available for Apple and Android version telephones. And if you want to get involved in this one, it's a lot better than the one you have. If you have one on now, take it out. Put the new one on, because the new one works, the old one didn't.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And, you know, we're getting to that time where we're going to start talking about winterizing stuff. And, you know, we talk about winterizing boats and motors, but you got some tips, Desmond, on winterizing kayaks and canoes and stuff.
Kayaks and canoes have to be stored for the winter, too, unless you're going to use them as a sled. So the quick things you want to do, obviously, you want to wash out your kayak or canoe, give it a thorough bath, and especially check the ends, the front and the back, because that's where critters and snakes like to make a little nest. It's also a great time of year to repair any scrapes, repair any, you know, chips to your coating, depending on what kind of vessel you have. You're going to want to check all your nuts, bolts, screws, and everything. You know, not all kayaks have that, but canoes certainly do. And just go around, make sure everything's nice and tight. And then as far as storage, especially, you know, these polyethylene kayaks, they can be out in the extreme cold. It's not going to hurt them. What will hurt them is being exposed to direct sources of light that might get really warm. Right. And then especially if that source of light is where you're hanging your kayak, you can risk kind of change in the shape of it if you hang it. So it's a lot better if you've got some rafters to set your kayak in, or you've got a stand. They're pretty easy to make. There's tons of information on the internet for some of these DIY things. But if you need to store your kayak out or canoe out in the cold, it'll be fine. Just try and keep it covered so no light or anything else is getting to it too much.
Well, you mentioned how you hang it. Supporting the hull is important, because you can deform that hull in some of them roto-molded plastic ones.
You sure can, and you're in a small boat. Just keep it the way it's supposed to be.
You know, talking about keeping the way it's supposed to be, here's something that's way out. A romantically inclined bull moose was visiting an Amish farming community near Fairchild. This is about a month ago. And it was welcomed by the Amish people. But all of a sudden, this bull moose started getting romantic with cows and horses, if you can imagine that. And so the DNR had to come in and tranquilize this bull moose and take it over to, I think they took to one of the big forests near there to get that moose out of their hair.
We're getting a little bit off the track here, guys, but talking about winterizing boats, Art, you know, when we get to winterizing, you know, there's a bunch of things that we need to do, and there are a few things that people tend to ignore. One, batteries, and two, wheel bearings.
I was just going to say bearings.
Yeah, they forget all about them. They got bearing buddies on them. We'll just leave them until next year. If you got moisture in there, by the time you get to next spring, the bearings will be gone.
You got to just take that wheel off and look at that hub and see what it looks like. And if you don't know how to do it, have somebody do it for you.
Yeah. Or go on Google it on YouTube, and you can find the instructions on how to do it. It's simple. It's a messy job, but something you need to do is repack them bearings every year. And the other thing is batteries. Just make sure your batteries are got. Use good distilled water, top them off if they're low, and make sure you put them on a maintainer charger and keep them charged all winter. Well, you know, Desmond, I don't know if you got any last minute things too you want to add to it here. You're going to be out there fishing this fall yet, I think.
I would. You know, I keep telling myself it's time to buckle down and study for the bar, but when someone calls you up and says, hey, you want to go fishing, it's real hard to say no when that fall bite is so hot.
Well, you got to study too, or I'll kick you in the seat.
I'll do both.
Anyway, you know, we're about out of time here. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website at wnoradio.net, and from there you can link through to our podcast site. There's links to the podcast site, to Facebook, and also to YouTube. We put up some good videos, and I know Desmond and I are planning on putting up more stuff this fall yet if we can.
We're certainly hoping to get out there. I'd like to catch a muskie with you, John.
Okay. Well, I've been catching a few, and you know, the
The crazy thing is that I've been using those Livingston lures that got the electronic bait fish out in them. The last two muskies caught on those things, so it's kind of interesting.
Things work if you try them.
You bet. We're out of time for this week, folks. I want to thank you for tuning in. And
take some youngster hunting or fishing this fall.
And we'll see you again next week.
Me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.